Create English.
Hi, and welcome to Create English on Ripollet Radio.
English. Create English.
My name's Gabor, and this is our English language program, monthly program on the radio for learners of English from elementary to upper intermediate levels. Well, hope you join in and listen to us. For today, we've got the photographs uploaded on my blog that you can take a look at, and I'll be making some comments about them and give you a couple of vocabulary items. Then we're going to look at some grammar, check the homework that you had from the previous October program, and then we've got an interview to listen to with a student who went to Ireland this summer to study and to learn English. And, well, this is the same summer camp that Andrea, an English teacher I interviewed in October, had been to. And so today we can just take a look at the same experience from a different point of view, this time from a student's point of view. So hope you enjoy the program, and well, let's get going. All right, so here we are again with the first thing, three photographs that I've posted on my blog on www.createenglish.com, where you can find three photographs that I'm going to talk about now, briefly. So, the first photograph, as you can see, it's a photo taken with a wide-angle lens, and the photo was taken on the way to the north of Spain, and it's basically a marsh area, and what you can see is an arm of a river, or similar, maybe just an arm that just reaches into the land from the sea. And what you can see now is that there's hardly any water in it. Now that's because it was low tide. Yeah, so our first word for today would be low tide. Low tide is when the level of the sea is down. And high tide would be when it's up. Moving on to the second photo. These are the so-called orreos. If I'm not wrong, that's the name in what they use in the north for these structures. In English, I would say they're like granaries or sheds. Anyway, these wooden buildings are used or were used in the past for keeping grains and cereals like wheat and corn. And I think, if I remember well, they were also used for keeping meat products, sausage and bacon. And the point is that they were built in a way which I've found peculiar. You've got the supporting poles that hold the structure. And between the structure, the building, and the poles, you can find a huge stone for each pole, pretty big, flat, round stone. And the reason for using these stones was to prevent rodents from climbing up. Rodents like mice, for example, that would be very interested in, just tasting all the goodies stored in these sheds. So, well, people just didn't want these animals to get in the sheds, obviously. And this is a very simple but very effective way to keep them away. I've got a photograph, the third one actually, which is like a zoom in on one of these stones so you can observe this interesting feature. And yeah, that's it. So next time you're in the north, this is Asturias and Galicia, and perhaps in other places too, I don't know. But look out for them. They still exist. I'm not sure if they're still in use, but they are there, you know, as memories of the past, and some in pretty good shape, some not so much, but you can always stop and take a look. So that was it about the photographs for today. And the vocabulary that we've learned would be low tide, marea baja, high tide, marea alta, and granary, granero, and shed, which is cobertizo. So these would be the words related to the pictures that we've just seen.
English, create English today. Go for English, get your English. English, create English today. English, create English today. Go for English, get your English. Go for English today. Create in English.
Moving on to the next part. We're going to answer the homework that you had from the previous program. So I gave you two things to think about, two things to translate from Spanish to English. And it's grammar related, yeah? The first thing was this one. No como carne hace mucho. Yeah, how would you say this in English? And how would you say, no lo veo últimamente? Well, here we are, the answers. The first one would be, I haven't eaten meat for a long time. I haven't eaten meat for a long time. If you remember, we talked about how Spanish treats this grammar point differently. In Spanish, you use the simple present form, like no como carne. Even though you're talking about a period from the past to the present. In English, this is different. You can't use the present simple for this. You would say, I haven't eaten, I have not eaten meat for a long time. That's called the present perfect tense. One of the typical uses of the present perfect tense. And similarly, no lo veo últimamente. Again, in Spanish, you use the simple present, no lo veo. But in English, that would be, I haven't seen him recently. I haven't seen him recently. I have not seen him recently. Again, the present perfect tense used to express this idea of recent past, but still the past, connected to the present. Yes, so that's the grammar homework. And let's look at today's grammar point. Nouns used as adjectives. Well, the idea is that if you say a big car, that's very clear. You know, a big car, you've got car as the noun and big is an adjective which describes the car, that it's big. But if you say a company car, now you've got a different thing there. You've got company, which is a noun. Company means empresa, and car means coche. Now, in Spanish, the way you solve this grammar point is using de. So you would say, coche de empresa, right? But in English, what you do is simply take both nouns and you put them one after the other. And you take the first one, which describes the second one, and that's the order. So company car, not car company. Actually, you can say car company, but that's a different thing. A car company is a company which sells or manufactures cars. But a company car is a car which is not your car, but it's the car of the company that you can use as an employee of this company, if you're lucky. That's one example. Another example would be a large window. Clear, right? A large window. It's great to have a large window if you have a large house, because you've got lots of light come in, I suppose. What if you say a shop window? Yes, a shop window. And that's where you can take a look at the kind of products that a shop sells. Shop is a noun. Window is another noun. But the idea is that it's a window of a shop. Un escaparate. Well, in Spanish, you've got one specific word for that, actually. But the idea is the same. A shop window, both are nouns, yet shop in this case is sort of a descriptive noun, describes the second noun, so it qualifies it. Or if you take boring shopping, you know, not everyone enjoys shopping, boring shopping or window shopping. What is boring shopping? Well, shopping that you don't enjoy. But what is window shopping? Again, we've got window and shopping, two nouns. Window shopping is when you don't buy anything. You don't even maybe enter the shop. You just walk in the street and stop and check the shop windows, the displays, and see what they have. Check the prices, the variety, whatever. But you don't actually buy anything. That's window shopping. How do you pronounce these? Well, usually you put the accent on the first noun. So you would say a company car, not a company car. Or you would say shop window, not shop window. Etc. So you put the emphasis on the first noun, which describes the second noun in the row. Can there be more than two nouns in a row? Yes. You can just keep adding nouns. It's actually pretty common. For example, you could say, imagine a center where animals are taken care of. And this is a protection center. Yes, it's an animal protection center. And the kind of animals that you have there are sea animals. So the whole thing would be a sea animal protection center, right? Four nouns in a row. Sea is a noun. Animal is a noun. Protection is a noun. And center is a noun, four nouns in a row, that in Spanish would be something like un centro de protección para animales marinos, right? So there you would combine it sort of this way. In English, it's kind of simpler. You just put four nouns in a row and there you go, you've got it. Okay, homework. How would you say the following in English? Funda de guitarra. Temperatura ambiental. Sacapuntas. And un comerciante. Right, so try to say these in English with the noun and noun combinations. Okay, we'll check these next time. In the next program, in December. This is Create English on Ripollet Radio with Gabor Legrady, and we're going to move on to an interview I made with a student who went to Ireland to learn English. And she went to the same camp where Andrea, the teacher that I interviewed in the previous program, had been to. So the same camp, and now I'm going to ask a few questions about Silvia's experience. So, listen to the interview and listen out for the following information. And once the interview is over, I'm going to comment on some expressions and vocabulary. So, the first thing would be, where did Silvia stay in Ireland? So, where did she stay? Second question, what did she say about making friends with other students? At one point she mentions she was lucky. What does she mean by that? Next one. Listen out for how Silvia describes her improvement in English. So what does she feel about her English before and after the camp? Does she feel that she improved and why? And what is her overall conclusion about the experience? So, after all the experience, how did she feel when she came back to Spain? So, let's listen to the interview now, and let me give you the answers after the interview and comment on some expressions. Here we go. Silvia, welcome, and thank you for the interview. Hi, how are you today?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. It's a nice sunny day, at least here. Now, I know you went to Ireland this summer to a language camp.
Yeah.
And I'd like to ask you a couple of things about this experience. Okay? For the radio listeners. So my first question would be, how long did you stay in the summer camp?
I stayed there for 3 weeks in July.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and okay. I was with a whole family. They were two sisters, that they were 18, and her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it was very fun because they are very crazy, and well, it was very good.
Uh-huh. Tell me a bit about the setup. Like, how did this thing work? I know that you had classes in the morning and activities in the afternoon.
Yes.
For example, in your class, how many students were there?
We were about 20 students or more. Now, I can't remember exactly, but yes, 20 or 25. We were a lot.
Now, you mentioned that your family was very nice, but was it easy for you to make friends, or how easy or difficult was it for you to make friends with other students?
It wasn't too difficult, because in class it was very easy to socialize with all the group. And then after class we used to do different type of activities. So that helped me a lot to meet new people. And also, I was lucky because the first day we did an excursion, and there I have the opportunity to meet people easier.
So I see. Okay.
Yes, it wasn't too difficult.
Can you tell me a bit about the experience with your host family? Like, you know, when did you spend time with them?
Oh, yes. Well, I got on very well with them. Because, like I said to you, I was with two twins, and that they were 18. So we got on very well, and it was very fun because they and Mary, that is her mom, are very very crazy. So every day it was an amazing experience with them, and we did a lot of things together. That, like almost every afternoon, we went to walk the dog in the beach, and one day we went to a mini golf. And it was very fun.
And now we're talking in English, and well, your English is great. You know, I mean, it's fluent. How do you feel about your English before the camp and after the camp? I know it was 3 weeks, but I'm sure you noticed, you know, some improvement.
Well, honestly, I think that I have improved because there you learn how to express by yourself in English, because no one can help you to they don't speak your language. So that make it more difficult, but more effective to learn how to speak English.
Yeah.
That I remember that the first days I was a little bit scared because people spoke very, very fast, and it was difficult for me to understand them and answer fluently. But then I got it, so I can explain, and they help you a lot. Like, and you are not... You can explain, and if it's difficult for you, they help you, and there's no problem for them.
Well, in the previous program, I spoke with Andrea, who was a teacher at the camp, and so I asked her about her experience. But she wasn't your teacher, was she?
No.
No, okay.
No, she was always, like, helping me with people or... with the classes, if I was good, and yes.
So checking how you were, if you were well and things were going well, how you were doing, okay. And which afternoon activity did you like most? Do you remember? Like,
We did a lot of activities that were very fun, like bubble football or laser blast. But which I liked the most was surfing, because because it was very, very fun, and always. I have always wanted to do it, so I enjoy it a lot. And yes, I think it's the most that I like.
And do you keep in touch with your host family still? Or, you know, I guess you wrote some emails to each other after you came back. And
Firstly, yes, I kept in touch with them, and we spoke a lot. But then when summer finished, we didn't talk as much as before, because... You know, it's very difficult to keep in touch with people who have different lives, and you can see, and I don't know. But yes, we keep in touch, but not as much as we did in summer.
Well, I guess it's kind of normal, no? You're back to the daily routine, and everyone's back to the routine. I don't know. Do you want to say anything else about your experience? These would have been my questions, but if you want to add anything?
No, just that... it's a great experience. I didn't do it before, and I'm sure that I will do it more, because you meet a lot of people, and you learn how to speak English. All it's positive.
Okay, great. That's it. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm going to just take this interview and, take a couple of expressions and make some comments about it in the program.
Yes.
And well, thanks a lot, and all the best, and good luck with your English.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. So, this was the interview, and let's see the answers. The first question I asked you was, where did Sylvia stay in Ireland? Well, she stayed with a host family. We had this expression in October in the previous program, but, it's just worth remembering. Host family. Second, she says it was easy to socialize with people in the class, and they had afternoon activities that helped her to mix with people and make friends. Why does she feel she was lucky? That's because the first day, the day she arrived... there was an excursion, and then that was a good opportunity to start making friends. In the host family, she had a great time because, they did lots of things together. They just got along very well. And how does she feel about her improvement? Well, she says she feels that she has improved, because at the camp and during these 3 weeks of... language learning, basically no one can help you with your first language, that is, with your mother language. But everybody is very helpful with English, so whatever you need to say, they try and help you, so you can express yourself and learn new expressions and learn how to make yourself understood. And she says that's more difficult, but more effective, of course. And her overall conclusion about the experience would be very positive. And she also said that she would like to repeat or have a similar experience in the future. So that's great, thank you. And let me make some comments about a couple of expressions that she used. Not everything, but maybe some things that would be useful for her to know and for other learners of English, perhaps, too. So let's begin with some good ones here. She said, I got on very well with them, with the host family, or we got on very well. This is a great phrasal verb, great expression, so just it's good to express that you have, you can find the ways to be with people, spend time with people without conflicts. That's to get on well with somebody. Another expression she used is walking the dog. Yeah, that's what you do when you take a dog for a walk. You walk the dog. That's a good one. And also keep in touch with. Do you keep in touch with your family? Do you continue writing or speaking to each other? Keep in touch. Very good. Okay. And some expressions that she used that need a little correction would be the following. We were about 20 students, or we were a lot. Now, in English, you would say there were about 20 students in the classroom, or there were about 20 of us, okay? But not we were 20, or we were a lot. That's not the right way. Another thing, we used to do different kinds or different types of activities. This would be a remote past, like, you know, something you did in the past, but you don't do it now, and especially habits, you know. But in this case, I think you could just simply say, you know, we had lots of activities, we did lots of things, not we used to do, because it's about this camp experience, so it's simple past. The next thing is probably a pronunciation thing. They helped me to met new people. Met is the past form. Here you should say they helped me to meet a lot of people. Why? Because you're saying you're using the infinitive form to meet, not to met. M-E-E-T is pronounced meet. Okay, so Sylvia met a lot of people, a lot of new people in the camp, but the teachers and the other peers helped her to meet other people. Yeah, they went to walk the dog on the beach, not in the beach, on the beach. And she repeatedly used an expression, it was very fun. It was fun, or it was great fun, but not very fun. You could say it was very funny if something was very funny, which means, you know, it made you laugh. But if you had a great time, a good time, you would say it was great fun. I had lots of fun. We had lots of fun, but not it was very fun. Okay, so it was great fun. And it was great fun to do this program again. So we've come to the end. And if you want a little summary of this program, you can go to the website of the radio or to my blog at www.createenglish.com. And under the radio blog, you will find the photographs and other information. Well, have fun, take care, and hope to talk to you in December. Bye-bye.